Now then, it is all about Shakespeare this week. BBC Shakespeare on tour as we career towards the anniversary of 400 years since he died. Now, Southam has a big link to Shakespeare. A little bit later on, we'll be finding out more about this with Val Brody. She wants to make sure that we know it's not all about Stratford-upon-Avon. Southam was once such a cultural hub, it staged its own Macbeth. So we thought, restage Macbeth. Is this a dagger I see before me? With the help of BBC Coventry and Warwickshire's Tom Cook. Now, Tom, obviously you're a very cultural fella. That's why we sent you to us to sell them this morning. Yes. So how's that been going then? What have you been? You've been trying to find somewhere special, haven't you?
I have been trying to find somewhere special. What we've been looking for is effectively this new theatre in Southam. It's not new anymore. It's long gone. It was built, well, we're not sure when it was built. All that we know that was it was here in 1822 when a performance of Macbeth was put on there on a Friday evening by this travelling company, effectively. Now, some research that the BBC carried out as part of the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death discovered in the National Archives this bill poster basically advertising this event here in Southam. They got in touch, or basically the historians that were working on this project got in touch with us. We then got in touch with the Historical Society in Southam, and you'll hear later about how it was news to them that there was ever a theatre here in the town. So we've been asking people in the town today, would they want to take part in BBC Coventry and Warwickshire's very own version of Macbeth? It's a bit of a hard sell, Vic, to be honest, to get people to put down their shopping and go, fancy reciting some Shakespeare? No, mate, I don't know anything about that. But I managed to get four or five people who were willing to give up 2 or 3 minutes of their time. You'll hear that later, and also you'll be able to hear now some of the people that I've been speaking to earlier. And it's been really interesting as well, because a lot of people were genuinely interested in the fact that there was a theatre here, and one or two people just say, oh, it's a shame there's not a theatre here anymore to put an event, because they've got a lovely brand new library, which I went into and spoke to some of the people there. But apart from that, there's not really much else. Well, I say not much else, there's obviously a town here, but if you wanted to go out at night in Southam, there's not really much else apart from the pub, really.
Well, there's the Bowling Green, there's the Fox and Hen, it's all going on in Southam, and it's such a beautiful place. But it would be nice for it to have its own theatre. We'll be hearing a little bit more about Tom's work with the folk of Southam and their thespian skills. That's coming up a little bit later on. I'm very excited about it. Here's a little sneak peek, though, of what Tom's been up to.
A dark cave in the middle, a cauldron boiling thunder. Enter the three witches.
Harpier cries, 'Tis time, 'tis time. Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
That's pretty good, the double, double, toil and trouble line. Yeah, you see, this is the beauty of Shakespeare, right? Because you think, I don't know any Shakespeare, but I bet everybody knows double, double, toil and trouble, don't they? And they know, is this a dagger I see before me? Fair is foul and foul is fair, etc. It's all engraved on my heart, thanks, Mr. Vivian, because I did it for my GCSE English. Got an A. Thank you again, Mr. Vivian. But still, we'll have a little bit more of our restaging of Macbeth. Let's talk culture. Shakespeare, to be precise, the Shakespeare on Tour series continues. You might remember yesterday on the show, we heard from the Mayor of Stratford, Tessa Bates, about the plans that the town has got for the 400th anniversary celebrations next month. Stratford, obviously, is the epicentre, isn't it? The heart of all Shakespeare celebrations. But there's a lot more to this, you know, than Stratford-upon-Avon. We've got cultural hubs all over the place, including Southam. This is true, Southam. 200 years ago, the town was on the sort of big road, the main road between the north and the south. So it was quite a popular place. And one of those popular places with a weary traveller was the Craven Arms. It had parking for up to 80 horses, ample parking there. And as we found out on the breakfast show this morning with Trish and Joe, it was the location of a theatre. Now, our Moira Rawlings met expert Dr. Val Brody and historian Bernard Cadogan to show them a playbill for a performance of Macbeth that had been held at the back of the Craven Arms in Southam in 1822.
This poster is a complete revelation to us. We'd absolutely no idea that there was, at the top of the poster, you see it says the new theatre Southam. We'd no notion that there was any kind of building at this time. 1822, a performance of Macbeth in Southam. We didn't know about it.
Bernard Cadogan, you're chair of the Southam Heritage Collection here. That's right. And we contacted you with this playbill, and it's caused a bit of excitement here.
Well, it's a little bit like Val was saying before. It's a fascinating thing to see, because we had absolutely no idea whatsoever that anything like this had happened in Southam. We were aware of performances being put on in Southam in the early 1900s, but nothing as early as this. And one of the most fascinating things is to try and work out where exactly this building was. The playbill talks about the new theatre Southam in big bold letters right at the very top, implying that it was something quite significant and actually did exist. And then it has as a second line, back of the Craven Arms Inn. Now, the back of the Craven Arms Inn could mean a lot of things.
Well, what did it mean then? Well, the BBC's been doing loads of research, and the lady who knows more about it is somebody we heard from then, Dr. Val Brodie from the Shakespeare Institute. Good morning to you, Val.
Morning.
Thanks for joining us. Because I looked at this, I'll be honest, and I said, how is this a big story? Play performed in town. Why is this so important?
Well, I think it is a big story because it's a window into a world that we've completely forgotten. We've forgotten that before the railways came around, that culture came to us rather than asleep on a train or now leap in our car or whatever and go to something. So these little theatre companies toured around. We've been looking at a similar company in the Cotswolds region. We saw that they went to 40 different little towns like this, and they were performing barns, in brew houses, behind inns, and so on. So the word theatre, we have to remember, we're not talking plush red seats and, you know, steps and arcades to go up. We're talking a little place where a performance could be made.
And we know now where this was.
Well, I wanted to take it on first face value when we first saw it. It said back of the Craven Arms Inn. And you think, well, a poster is to tell, or a playbill as they call it then, is to show us where to go. So you go through the archway of a typical coaching inn, and there would have been some kind of space at the back. Maybe it was the balconies filled in, which they did from Tudor times, you know, the galleried rooms. Maybe it was that filled in, or maybe it was a brew house or something at the back that was converted. But converted not just for this one night of performance, because since we saw this playbill and talked to Moira 2 or 3 weeks ago, we've discovered they were there for 6 weeks. They were there till New Year. They did at least 27 different plays in 6 weeks.
Wow.
They were a fantastic company.
That's an extraordinary thing. Because if you've ever sat down, and I remember my school days with lots of happiness, but sort of sat there tackling Macbeth, which I did, and others, was not necessarily the most easy thing to do. And you think that this theatre company is presenting this on a daily basis?
Yeah, they're not presenting Macbeth probably more than once or twice in that time. And they're also presenting Macbeth very, very cut back. Shakespeare calls for 41 characters, and there are 13 on this playbill. And we notice most noticeably there's no Lady Macduff, so the sort of second story is completely yanked out. So the murder of Lady Macduff's children, no, it's not there. So it's a cut down version of Macbeth. It's described on the playbill as his sublime tragedy. Sublime. I mean, it's not a word we'd use these days, really, is it?
Not often. No, I'll be honest.
About Macbeth.
No. Certainly not about Macbeth. Well, this just goes to show, though, because nowadays we think of Shakespeare as being highbrow. But it wasn't always thus, was it?
No, I don't think it was, you see, because people came to this evening, and then at the end of the play, there was a favourite song sung by Miss Bland and another song by Mr. Bland. So that was to sort of lighten you up. And then there was Don Juan, which is described as a grand ballet. And so there's not a ballet in the sense that on their toes and so on, but leaping around, performing a story without much text, more active and visual performance of the Don Juan story. So lots of naughtiness fitting in with your theme of the morning, really.
Oh, do you know what's all been going on today? I could do without any more naughtiness, I'll be honest with you, especially after my frogs yesterday. It's a wonderful thing to think that it was literally for the masses. And as early as this as well, 1822, that was quite a shock.
1822, and indeed, while I've been, you know, doing a bit more digging around, because obviously this was a very interesting interesting, really, bit of research. I've discovered six posters, playbills from Dunchurch from 1810.
From now, Dunchurch?
Dunchurch.
Home of the Huntsman Calvary. Have you ever been? Extraordinary.
Well, and that too has got a coaching in. And so one imagines, he just says, the theatre, Dunchurch. Now, I've not been to talk to the people of Dunchurch yet, whether they think they've got a theatre that did Shakespeare, but certainly Hamlet in 1810 was done in Dunchurch.
Wow. I suppose this makes sense, though, because, like we said, this was a major route. We are the Middle Lands, yes. So whether you were, you know, north to south, you were coming on the road through here. Yes. So it made sense, I suppose, that we were quite the cultural epicentre.
I think these people moved.
Yeah.
I think if you'd have gone to Daventry, if you'd have come here to Coventry, there would have been performances. I think they moved, and I think originally, scholars feel that they moved the distance you could travel in a day because the companies originally walked. They talked about it as being a walk, a circuit was a walk. By this time, who knows, a company like this, that's obviously quite an established company, given that they came and they stayed for 6 weeks. Perhaps they came with carts or whatever, or carriage, I don't know.
They might have done, mightn't they?
We don't know.
What a shame. We need to know. Well, I was thinking, because in Shakespeare plays, there's an awful lot of wandering and travelling players in that. And they quite often turn up on a cart, don't they?
They turn up in Hamlet, don't
they? Yeah, you do.
And they say, oh, here come the players, as though they're not quite sure whether they're expecting them or not.
They were the ones that performed the Mousetrap.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary what you remember, isn't it? You don't think, you know. But we were talking about this earlier on because our Tom's been out and about in Southam trying to make people redo Macbeth. By the way, this was my idea and I'm really sorry for it now. But and people say, I can't quote any Shakespeare, but we pretty much all can, can't we? Even, you know, neither a borrower or a lender be, you know, little things like that. He's there all the time.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. We'll talk some more to Dr. Val Brody in just a sec, and you can hear my idea come to life with the good folk of Southam. Once again, Tom and everybody in Southam, I'm sorry for having another one of my ideas. For now, though, we are knee-deep in Shakespeare. After the discovery was made of part of BBC Shakespeare on Tour, that there was a whole lot of culture going on in Southam as early as 1822, when Macbeth was staged. To talk to us a little bit more about it is Dr. Val Brody, who joins us. Because you did a PhD in performance history, is that right?
Yeah, but my period was a wee bit later than you know how it is with specialists. They always want you to narrow it down. So my period was 1850 onwards. So to actually go back to 1822 was real strange territory to me, and it's been a very exciting opportunity to look at it at a very local level, because provincial theatre has not been much researched. And so this is really, it is important research, I think, that project has initiated here.
We don't know. I don't suppose we do. We know all about, you know, the Memorial Theatre and then the big lots of Shakespeare. We were talking about David Garrick as well yesterday, who sort of led the plaudits and led the bid to make Shakespeare.
And we know what went on in London. That's the main thing, that you can read the textbooks, you can read the histories, you can read the adverts, and you can learn what went on in London. But when I come to look at the London playbills, they're very similar to these here in Southam. So Southam was aiming to be fashionable. The kinds of programmes that you're getting, two plays and a couple of songs in between, very similar to the sort of things that are being put on in Drury Lane, in what was called Covent Garden. It's not the Opera House like now, but Covent Garden Theatre. Similar kind of programme.
So this is like, you know, we follow Camden Lock by opening up a hipster brew house.
Yes.
This is kind of a similar do.
Yes.
It's that kind of thing.
Yes, it's very fashionable what Southam is offering for its punters. And yet when I come to look at the adaptability of the actors, I just think a modern actor would find this amazing to be playing Lady Macbeth one night and then Juliet, the same girl, Miss Booth, on the 13th of December is playing Juliet and as played Lady Macbeth. Now, we would think of a totally different kind of actress and age range taking on that part. And then also in the same programme, she's appearing in Children in the Wood and Tom and Jerry, A Life in London. So it's quite an evening's work.
Tom and Jerry?
Tom and Jerry. And it's on this playbill, it's said to be the most popular and successful play ever produced on the London stage. I do think that they're putting that up a bit.
Oh, do you think?
But perhaps at the time it was. Who knows?
Well, you never know.
It was frequently performed, this one called Tom and Jerry.
Was it?
Mm.
Do you think it gave rise to the mice and the cat?
Well, I don't know. Now that's somebody else's project.
Yeah, that is it. Let's step away from that now before somebody at the BBC. The last thing we want this morning, Val, is any more ideas. That's the last thing we need. It is a fascinating thing. What made you choose performance history for your PhD?
Well, I'd done a course at the Shakespeare Institute, and I'm actually by trade a musician.
Oh, yes.
And so, therefore, to look at performance history at a time when music played an enormous part in the presentation was a natural progression, really, to use that level of expertise and bring it towards the text. And I'm fascinated on these playbills that it says that they do all these singing and so on. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what instruments did they bring them? Did they bring a little band or so on? 1822?
Well, I can't imagine they were lugging around a tuba and a giant piano.
I can't think they were, but they must have had something. A flute and a cello or something.
A lute.
A lute. Bit late for lute.
Is it? Mm. You wouldn't just dump your lutes. There wouldn't have been lute burning, though, was there? Like piano smashing in the 60s.
I think you might. That's a Renaissance instrument. And a lute is very, very quiet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And it's pre-piano accordion. I don't know. The jury is out on what they accompanied themselves by. I mean, they wouldn't have lugged a piano around, but at the back of the... At the back of the inn.
Ukulele. That's a versatile instrument.
I'll leave that one with you, Vince.
I'll have a think about it. Listen, Dr. Val, thank you so much for helping us to put Southam on the Shakespearean map. There's loads more, by the way, on the BBC Shakespeare on Tour's website, which is bbc.co.uk/Shakespeare on Tour. And tomorrow we'll be talking about Coventry's links to the Bard on the show. Stand by, though. So we were just hearing from Val Brodie talking to us about Southam and how it became a cultural hub when these theatre companies used to pop into town and they staged Macbeth back in 1822. So I decided it'd be a brilliant idea to restage a bit of Macbeth in Southam this morning. Would it be possible? We asked our reporter Tom Cook to sort it out.
Okay, so I'm here on Southam, well, on High Street effectively, just up from Market Hill, not far from the original location of the Craven Arms, which was once a pub back in 1822. That was the location of this theatre, which has been discovered in the archives. So I'm joined here in the queue for the bank this morning with a lady here.
Yes, Annette Tompkins.
Hello, Annette. Now, I've asked you nicely if you'd like to take part in our short version or cut down version of Macbeth.
Yes.
I have on my phone here, if you could speak the first line, first of all, we'll get it going.
Okay.
Thrice the blinded cat hath mewed.
Thrice and once the hedge pig whined.
Harpier cries, 'tis time, 'tis time.
Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw. Told that under cold stone, days and nights has 31. Sweltered venom, sleeping got, boil thou first in the charmed pot.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
All double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
I think if the RSC is ever short of three witches for the next time it stages Macbeth, then open auditions might be an idea, and maybe ask them in Southam if they'd like to pop along and have a go. Brilliant work. Thank you very much indeed to our reporter Tom Cook for having a bash at that. Now, on your way after the news...